just pray for us as we begin to look at these two references we've just heard read. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts and our minds. You know our busyness inside. You know all the things we're doing. You know the holidays we're having, and some of us are still working. We just pray, Lord, your peace in our hearts, in our minds, that we may receive your Holy Spirit with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is talk to the girls and boys. I was going to bring them out like Connor does, but I'm not as good at the microphones as he is, so I'm standing here. I just wanted to say good morning to the boys and girls, and it's a very special day in our church at St. Aidan's because it's the first Sunday in 2026. I'm still getting used to saying 2026, are you? We celebrated the new year coming in on Wednesday at 9 p.m. and then at midnight, counting in the first minutes of the new year, Thursday, the 1st of January. We have been learning all this last year, 2025, about how Jesus is our heavenly King and how he was born in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, born to be our King and Saviour. Do you remember we sang Christmas carols? It was only the other day, wasn't it? We sang Christmas carols. We had our Christmas pageant and worshipped Jesus, who laid down his sweet head in the song we sang with his mother Mary and Joseph there in the stable with him. Do you remember, boys and girls, how the shepherds kept watch over their flocks by night and the angels sang to worship Jesus, and how the shepherds went to the stable and worshipped him, and the wise men too, following the star, worshipping the baby born to be King Jesus, and brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. In the Bible too, we learned about Jesus' adult life during all of last year, his ministry, his mission, his prayer to his Father, and his teaching about God's way and truth. We learned about Jesus' friends who became his disciples and the way he showed them how to love and care for his people so that they would come to trust him and believe in his kingdom life, so that men and women and boys and girls would become God's friend and be saved from their sins. This morning, though, from the reading we've just heard, there's something surprising and rather scary about the gospel story from Luke. It's something very bad that's happened. Have you ever had a day when it felt like one bad thing after another was happening to you? Maybe you were late for school and missed something really fun. Maybe it was one day you couldn't find your school shoe and was behind the bathroom door and Dad had to find it. And just as about were you about to eat your favourite lunch, what happened? You spilled drink all over it and messed it up and it was a squishy mess. Has that ever happened to you? And when you got home, guess what? Your TV wasn't working and you couldn't watch your best program and you couldn't even look at the screens. Ever had a day like that, where it seemed everything went wrong? And then maybe you felt so bad inside, you started to get really mad. And maybe you got so mad, someone asked, "What's wrong?" And you started, "You leave me alone. Can't you leave me alone?" And you end up making the other person have a bad day too, because they now feel bad inside too. Well, Luke's story is about Jesus, our King, having an incredibly, in fact, the worst day possible. It's a terrible story. Jesus being arrested and punished for something he didn't do. He was captured and put on trial to face death because the rulers and religious leaders felt threatened by his ministry and teaching. They didn't want to know about it. They didn't believe God's truth about him being the heavenly King. And Jesus was slowly dying for punishment on the cross. And everyone was making fun of him, mocking him, abusing him. And some women were crying too. Even one of the criminals being punished beside him was mocking him too. And the rulers of the day and the soldiers sneered at Jesus and mocked him with words and actions. It's the worst of worst days for Jesus, our heavenly King. He's suffering pain and hurt, and mocking. They even took his clothes. But amazingly, Jesus doesn't get mad. He doesn't yell back at the mocking criminal or the others being so terrible to him. Instead, Jesus does an amazing thing. He asks God, his Father, in heaven, to forgive those people who were mocking him. And later, something else happens that's amazing when the second criminal, also being punished on the other side of Jesus and having a very, very bad day, asks Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus didn't say, go away and leave me alone. Instead, Jesus answered with great kindness and mercy, today you will be with me in heaven. Jesus had asked his Father God to help him to forgive those who mocked him. And because he was faithful and obedient to his Father, he was able to promise the criminal who called out in faith and trust to the Lord that he would indeed be with him that day with his Father in heaven. For Jesus defeated death and sin on that first Easter Sunday and later rose to be with his Father in heaven. Boys and girls, as we come in prayer before God and ask his help and guidance when we have bad days, and we all have those, when people say nasty things to us, when they won't be our friend, when they make fun of us, or when we just make mistakes, and we all do that too, as we talk to Jesus, we can share God's love and forgiveness with others in the way he does. We can pray to Jesus to help us when we make mistakes and when our day seems just so bad, it's unbelievable. We know that God loves us very, very much. And so we can pray this prayer, dear God, please help us to know your help and love, even on those worst of days, so that we can receive that love and share it with those around us. Amen. I'm just going to have a few words with others here today. It's happened, hasn't it? Christmas has happened, Boxing Day sales are still happening, and packing up for decorations are still happening, certainly in our house, they're nowhere near packed up. The new year has erupted, the harbour city was blazing in celebrations, and here on the first Sunday in the new 2026, we're meeting to worship our wonderful Saviour, to feed on his word, and to gather at his communion table. The readings today I could equally theme crossroads and new starts. You hear that actually on TV, don't you? What's your New Year's resolution? What are you going to start this year? Well, it is for us all time for new starts. We're at the crossroads to make decisions. Or it could be called from mockery to mercy, as we heard the story read. Or it's never too late to turn to Christ Jesus. No matter how young you are, no matter how old, it's never too late. I remember more than 20 years ago speaking at another church to a fellow who, as I shook his hand at the end of the service, broke down in tears. He'd been coming to church for years and even helping with the handing out of prayer books and things like that. This day he was visibly upset. His hand shook as we talked, and told me that he'd never really known God's forgiveness. He had in his memory time when he jeered at God, spoke to people about his lack of trust and unbelief, and blamed him for stuff that had happened in his life, and that he'd hurt people because he was so angry and upset, with angry words and abused alcohol and substances to numb his feelings of pain. Over the last years, he had attended church services, repeated the confession prayer, come up to communion, but he still did not know that peace of God within him, that assurance of God's forgiveness because of what Jesus had done on the cross, and had not known the promise of eternal life in heaven with him. It was this passage from Luke's gospel today which touched his heart and mended his soul by his Holy Spirit in the following weeks. It was this passage and the verses from Isaiah which assured him that we are never too old nor too young to turn to the loving arms of Jesus, his arms always outstretched for us, and to know his true mercy and grace. It's never too late to repent and turn to the loving forgiveness of Jesus. Here at Luke's description of Jesus' crucifixion, we see the wondrous reality of, if you like, last-minute salvation. We're never too old or too immersed in ungodliness, nor hard-hearted in our relationships, nor blind to God's abundant goodness, or smothered in darkness. Never too late to turn to him and live in his light. Even as we face our own ending. As a chaplain in a hospital, I witness folks in their last hours turning to the loving arms of Jesus and knowing his presence right there with them in that hospital bedroom. Luke's is a powerful picture of God's abundant grace, new life in Jesus Christ, and the ultimate hope beyond our earthly years to show that Jesus offers heaven and eternal hope to everyone. Everyone, no matter how broken their past. Every moment, and every moment for us, is a vital opportunity to reset. To reset what's going on in our lives and what will go on in our lives. How deeply sad the insidious, mocking voice of the one criminal at the cross who abused Jesus from the cross. How deeply joyous the wonderful trust in Jesus and salvation in the second criminal. As Jesus responds to him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." As Isaiah had prophesied so many years before, Jesus was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of each one of us. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, but as a sheep is silent before its shearers, he was silent, and so did not open his mouth. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So here we are, gathered this first week of 2026 to worship our Lord in music and prayer and song, to receive at his table the fruits of his grace and mercy in bread and wine. And as we meditate on the themes of this passage and reflect on our own crossroads, we ourselves face this year, our country faces, our world faces, and we reset our own mind and heart by his Holy Spirit. We know that we live our lives with him and walk with him as we turn to him. I reflect on an article in yesterday's New Year's Eve Sydney Morning Herald that spoke of the urge to run away from it all, to escape the old life, which is not an unusual human response to workload, to parent load, to financial load, physical load, relationship load, fatigue load, and mental load. In a very busy, noisy, and at times hugely demanding world, the article had as its target the Generation X, that is 1965 to 1980 officially. But as a boomer and a grandparent of Generation Alphas, born between 2019 and 2025, I would say each one of us here faces emotional and mental churn at times, sometimes long times. Some of us severely physical, some emotional, some mental, some very much financial. As we each reset at the crossroads of this new year, and it's only the fourth today, plenty of time to do it, may I encourage you all to remember Jesus' words for each one of us from Matthew 11. And I love these words. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a promise is that. But how can we as people, men and women and boys and girls too, how can we do that better this year? Well, we can be disciplined, delving into God's word, maybe starting by reading the Bible readings in the e-news each week at home and sharing those with family and friends by prayer each day alone with friends and family as we walk along the path to the shops. Prayer is essential for each one of us as we speak to our Lord. And by turning more and more to Jesus' outstretched arms in faith and obedience, trusting in his grace and mercy, trusting in that, just as the second criminal did at that last minute salvation, he knew his sins were forgiven because he trusted in Jesus, even hanging on a cross at the last moment. He knew he was the Lord. He knew that he was God's son. And by knowing the true hope we have in Jesus, no matter what's going on in our lives, or what's going on in our country, or what's going on in our world, for he has his hands and his Holy Spirit is with us. Knowing and living in Jesus' love, his arms around us. Can you visualize that? Jesus' arms around you here this morning. No matter what's going on in your life, he is here with his arms around you by his Holy Spirit, and he loves you. From the cradle and all our lives, Jesus is our King. He is our true assurance. And as we finish, I just read these words from Jeremiah 6. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for ancient paths and where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. It's never too late to turn to Jesus. Amen.